Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
Rusty Mantell here. Brian Driscoll later. Hour 3 Sports Illustrated. Rusty, good morning to you, sir. I know the audience is going to kill me over this because they're about sick of it. What is your understanding as to what's going on with Arch Manning? Where are we at?
He's going to take business in June. I don't think anything's announced yet. You see the comments he's made where he first talked, and he said he's not ready to make a decision. This is one of those ones where this is a different family. Obviously, they handle it totally different, and they can. This is a big scope, big decision for everyone involved, and he's going to take visits. This is going to come down to Georgia and Texas, and anybody that tells you they kind of know what's going on, they don't. I mean, this is the deal. This circle is extremely, extremely tight within their family. I'm pretty confident saying it's going to come down to Texas and Georgia in the end. I'm pretty sure he's going to take visits in June to each of those schools. May take one to Florida, may take one to LSU. But I think at the end of the day, when the decision's made, it's going to come down to Georgia and Texas.
Rusty, if he doesn't make a decision before his senior year, then it's possible that he has to witness, he and his family, a typical, sometime in the season, Texas implosion, which they do it quite often, as we know. And again, maybe this year they don't. Here's my question. The Mannings are very smart, as we all know.
Yep.
Is that already baked in? Do they already understand this could happen?
Maybe they're going to see what Texas does. You know what I mean? They'd see what they do in the first couple of games, see how they start. They're in no hurry because here's the thing. Texas and Georgia are going to wait. They're both, quote-unquote, here. They're pot committed to Arch Manning. And they have been for a while, both schools. And maybe he's going to sit there and wait and see how it plays out with Texas, because at Georgia, the quarterback's going to be Stetson Bennett, and what he's done. He's seen the offense under him, and maybe Todd Monken's told them a couple of different things they're going to try this year. But, my opinion, they probably are pretty confident in what they can see out of Georgia. Maybe they want to see what Texas does and how Sark does and those types. They play Alabama very early. It'll be a big gauge for them. Not saying they have to win that game, but where are they at as a program, this time in September? So, again, anybody knows that's what they know, what's going on with Arch Manning, they're guessing, man, because this right here, I promise you, I've been doing this for 12 years. This is the most guarded, closed-circle information recruitment I've ever seen. It's probably the most high-profile prospect that we've all seen in a long, long time.
Rusty Manziel, 24/7 Sports. The Georgia quarterback room littered with 4 and 5 stars and Stetson Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
How does that ecosystem react if there's a future Arch Manning to Georgia announcement?
I think with or without Arch Manning, you'll see some movement after the season next year. That's just the way it is. I don't care what school you're at. You got that many guys. Somebody's leaving. Might be two. You never know. But certainly if you put Arch Manning in that equation and they know he's coming in January, you say Carson Beck just went through his third spring, Brock Vandergrift went through his second spring, Gunnar Stockton just went through his first spring. You go through another season, everybody kind of figures out where they are and kind of where they are with the staff. So there's going to be some movement with or without Arch Manning. I feel certain with that. So we'll see how it plays out. I tell people all the time, this time last year, Stetson Bennett was a way afterthought, and they got through 4 passes in a spring game. He was getting no reps in August. So you don't know how the quarterback room is going to play out. Jacob Eason had won the job. He had won the job. He takes an ankle sprain on play 3, and he never got it back. So you just never know how these things are going to play out. But there's a lot of guys in that room, and if you add someone like Arch Manning and everything around him, I feel certain there'd be some movement probably in December when you see the portal kind of heat up after the season especially for quarterbacks.
Rusty, you talk to a lot of players. You talk to a lot of families. How important is name, image, likeness? And has it taken the number one slot as to here's what I'm considering first?
A very big deal. I've talked to a ton of college coaches on the road. I mean, I talked to some college coaches last night at a spring game. In particular, about 2 weeks ago, I did talk to an SEC coach on the road at a high school. And listen, you know, this is all new to me. It's all new to the coaches. It's all new to the families. But Bill, you're in a situation when you're on an unofficial visit and you're meeting with a head coach, and that particular prospect told the head coach he needed to talk with his agent. You know, you kind of shake your head and laugh, but that's where we are. Like, you know, this kid, and in his mind, he wasn't being rude, but he has a guy that handles all his financial transactions now, his representation. So when you see stuff like that, I mean, it's just, I don't know where we're going. I don't pretend to be the NIL gear, but I'll tell you this, it's a very big deal. It's a very big deal. You know, people are curious. What is my son worth? What is his NIL value? You know, it's a crazy slippery slope how quick this thing changed. I don't know what changes. I know Nick Saban made all his comments last night, and I knew I woke up this morning, and before I got on Twitter, I told myself, here it comes. And man, it just dominated, and it will dominate all day. And it was on SportsCenter first thing this morning. I turned your show on, and you guys are talking about it. So I'm not trying to be the NIL guru. I'm learning too, but you asked me how important it is. Right now, it's very important, these recruits. Very important.
And this notion that you're not supposed to recruit based on what you can promise, NIL, is laughable.
Oh, God. What's legal and what's not? You know what I mean? I don't know if what Texas A&M done is illegal. I don't know. You know, I know they were giving NILs. I can guarantee you that. But I don't know what they did is illegal. So, you know, where's the gray area, all this stuff? And that's what's confusing to me, is what's legal and what's not. And, you know, what you just said is not supposed to be to sign. The NIL was created, prime example. The NIL was created for someone like Todd Gurley. So you don't have Todd Gurley sitting in some slime ball's car signing autographs for $2,500 when everybody in the stadium is wearing his jersey. You know, and that's where the NIL was created. That Todd Gurley and those players should be getting a percentage of money. Bryce Young, whatever he got last year, he was worth every damn dime of it. And, you know, you look at all these guys, and Brock Bowers just signed a deal with Zaxby's. I mean, Brock Bowers was a freshman All-American, one of the top players in the country. He earned that. So, you know, that's my part of it. But as far as, you know, University B going in to try to sign Rusty Mansell as a, you know, a junior tight end at a high school and giving him $500,000, I don't know that's the direction that we want for everybody. And what does that do to a locker room? And you got an 18-year-old kid with $500,000, and next thing you know, he gets taxed. And it's a crazy, crazy slope we're on, Bill.
24/7 Sports, Rusty Mansell. What has NIL done to the recruiting calendar? Has it slowed it up some? Because it was speeding up all these recent years.
Well, it has sped it up some, but here's where the biggest change has been, and that's in June. These 4 weeks in June have become December, because these kids make their decisions so much quicker now. So when you open up these visits, I mean, literally it starts this weekend at Georgia and Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson and Tennessee. I mean, you name it, they have some people on campus this weekend. But, you know, 2 weeks from now, it's on. And those 4 weekends in June are huge. You know, the team I cover, and I'm doing a spreadsheet right now to do a story on, I've never seen Georgia this many official visits in June, ever. That tells you what's going on. I mean, they know, too. They've got to, you know, and I'm certainly that those NIL discussions, there'll be NIL discussions in those visits. I can promise you that, all over the campus, all over the country. So, you know, it's new. You know, again, it's new. We're trying to figure out how this thing works and what's legal and what's not. So, You know, can they talk to collectives? I mean, that's a new rule now. Can kids talk to, you know, can collectives reach out to prospects? You know, I don't know the gray area there. So, you know, we're going to learn. But I can tell you the biggest change, Bill, has been these official visits in June. And, you know, me and you've been doing it a long time. It used to be January. Those 5 weekends in January used to be, it was on. Then it became December. Now it's June. This is go time in the world of college recruiting.
Does name, image, likeness slow down the flips, the decommits, the changes of mind?
Well, we don't know yet because this is the kind of the first, this is kind of the second cycle. You know what I mean? And this time, everybody seems to have, you know, at least a different plan. So here's the say, you know, if you agree and sign something to school B and their coach leaves, are you liable to have to go to that school? I don't know. You know, I mean, so, you know, now flips aren't just, hey, you told me you weren't taking another tight end. You did. Now it's, hey, I got a contract with you guys, and this guy left, and y'all going to run a different offense. I'm going to roll. I don't know.
So that's a legal system thing. That's a court system thing.
Yeah. I mean, what happens then? So, I mean, there's all these variables that we don't know, and people keep asking me that, you know, that kind of question, and I don't know, because now you're starting to, you know, now these kids have representation. I didn't realize until 2 weeks ago they could really have representation. Some of these kids have marketing teams and agents that are dealing for these guys. So it's a new one, Bill. It is a totally different world in college football, and especially in recruiting. I don't know. You know, it seems like NCAA is trying to slow some things down, and they're putting some stuff out there. But the people I talk to, the coaches I talk to the last couple of days on the road and see them, they're like, it's too late. So who knows?
New rule just in the last 24 hours says you got to stay at 85 is your total, but if you're behind because of transfers or attrition or your guy left or whatever the reason is, you don't have to be limited to 25. You can sign as many as you need to get up to 85. I think I know the NCAA doesn't get a lot of praise. That's a good rule.
That's a great rule. And that's going to help. I can't tell you how many high school coaches I talk about, man, the portal has killed us. I mean, it has killed high school. You know, the Arch Mannings and all those guys, they're going to have spots, but it's those last four or five guys that these schools don't sign. Again, I talked to a Power 5 coach recently, and he told me, he said, hey, man, we saved five spots. We didn't sign five high school kids. And so I love that rule. Kudos to NCAA. It's great, you know, to fill that, get that roster back up. And that's a place where these schools can reach back out and sign some kids, you know, maybe that second signing day, that type of thing. So I know there's some discussions going on with the NCAA executive committee about trying to create windows, which I love. If you're going to have portal, you have a window. You can go in like December, and you have a window. You can go in like February, and then one at the end of spring practice. And there's like, you know, what they're discussing is like three 2-week windows, which I like. You go in there, make your decision, leave, come out. That way schools know their number, kids know their number, and it trickles down to high school to where, you know, a school says, hey, listen, you know, the portal's closed. So we got seven spots left. We can take seven high school kids right here. And, you know, from my end, it's all about the high school kids, man. That's what I deal with every day, parents and high school coaches. And, you know, I see the frustration of, you know, this is tough to, because it trickles down, man. I mean, it trickles down all the way down to these D2 schools. A lot of kids getting unsigned because of that portal. So I talked to an FCS school Monday night here in my hometown in Rome, Georgia, at practice. He said, man, we saved five or six spots, and we're going to the portal with it. So I love that rule. Absolutely great rule to help everybody, I think.
Rusty, got maybe a minute. There had been some talk a few months back that they were considering, at least discussing, scrapping this December 72-hour early signing period.
Sure.
And maybe not going back to the February one, which we still have that day, but moving it maybe into early January or something like that. Is there any momentum there?
Not that I've heard. I'll tell you, I'll go on record right now. You could say this right here on 5/19/22. In 5 years, we will not have spring practice in college football. Be just like NFL, too much money involved. The players are getting paid. Not doing it. Not going to sit there for 2.5, 3 weeks and get banged on. They'll probably do OTAs like NFL does, but that's the next biggest change in my opinion. I see it coming. 5 years, calling it right now. No spring football.
Wow. Wow. Rusty, outstanding, sir. Appreciate you very much, man.
Thank you, Bill. Good to talk to you, buddy.
There he is, Rusty Manziel.